Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If worms had feet, they'd all have like little tiny rain boots because they come out in the rain all the time.
If worms had feet. That's the name of an album right there.
Yeah, like a really good alt rock album. Yeah. And you're, well, like the single that you'd released before the album would be called Tiny Rain Boots.
Yeah,
Tiny
exactly. Rain Boots. Yeah.
Church Hour. I will be your host, Reverend Ethan. With me today is Pastor.
Hashtag blessed James Miller.
And crusty old bum.
Peter. I'm the guy that they let sleep in the pews.
Yes. We're legally obligated because our church was found to be siphoning funds from the donation box to fund an underground casino.
Yep.
And the government, being the evil anti-Christian people that they are,
war on Christmas,
are forcing us to help the less fortunate.
Yeah.
Thus, Peter is
nobody
has joined us today.
Exactly. Nobody joins a church or starts a church or works at a church to help people.
Nope. You could have just ended it right there. Nobody works at a church. Nobody starts a church.
Nope.
Guys, wait. I found a cobbler underneath the bench. Oh, it's a PewDiePie.
What the fuck?
Hey, everybody. Oh, that's not true.
All that set up for that joke.
Well, that's not true, and I hate it, and I'm going home. So goodbye. No, I'm Ethan Palmer. I'll be your host today. This is the Lore Boys Lore Podcast.
About game lore.
Where we pick up lore about things. Not just games, Peter. It's not all games.
It's all just nerd shit.
Yeah.
And our brief interlude into assassinations.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, so I do want to give a quick shout out to T-Matt Podcast, who's like, oh, I can't wait to listen to this one because I've talked to them on Instagram. They're like, yeah, we're not really gamers. I don't know if we get it. And then finally I was just like, yeah, you're not getting what you're expecting. This is not about the assassinations.
Yeah, shout out to T-Matt Hope, their little hiatus. They recharge, they rejuice those batteries.
Yeah.
And get back to podcasting.
Well, ours was a lot longer than we expected, but honestly, the hiatus was good.
Yeah.
Although right now we keep picking up so much steam, I don't think we'll stop anytime soon.
I don't
soon.
Feel like stopping, honestly.
Yeah,
I'm in the swing of things right now.
Yeah, and it's just better and better.
But yeah, we're...
What about you, Jambo?
We're a comedy podcast. We're a comedy podcast that talks about video game lore and stuff. For anybody who's just tuning in for the first time, maybe Peter's friend Michelle, this is our second take. And we were talking about her. We're talking about her behind her back.
Yep.
And maybe she's listening for the first time. And we just want to say, hey.
We're not actually talking about her behind her back because we're recording this. We're going to put it on the internet.
That is true.
Really, you know.
That is true. But the one that's lost to the annals of time.
Yeah,
that's
we're just talking...
The annals of time, excuse me.
Yeah,
say it right.
I am a
language purist. You will say things properly. Purist, okay? You will speak properly.
Speak properly.
Speak.
So, how's everyone doing today?
Good.
You guys all right?
A little hungover? Yeah, colleague birthday yesterday. But I'm drinking wine now.
You burned the candle at both ends last night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's my boy, Petey. Oh, he loves to drink. Hey.
Got an Uber home.
He's so cool.
One of my colleagues is in town from the States as well, so we took her out a few Canadian bars because we had stopped in Canada.
Yeah.
Nice.
That is fun. I love that place.
She says Montreal, which is so fucking weird. Hey.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How do we say it? Montreal.
Montreal.
It's Montreal. M-U-N.
Montreal.
I live in Montreal. I'm from Quebec. I live in Montreal.
That's how we say it.
That's how we say it in casual conversation.
You see, I wasn't even going to comment on that. That was a normal sentence to me.
Yeah.
What are we actually talking about?
We're talking about Dead Space this week.
Yay!
Talking about markers. Talking about necromorphs. Talking about weird ass alien good shit. Spiritual successor to, I guess, our Doomcast.
Yep. So. Peter's played all the games. I've played one of the games. Ethan's played two of the games, I want to say.
I've touched all three, but I only beat the first one. Yeah, so we're talking about Dead Space today. It's a game that takes place in the future. Ooh, in space.
When is it set?
In Dead Space. The year 2508.
Okay, so it's way in the future. Yeah. Okay.
Full disclosure, I may say 2058 at some point, but I mean 2508.
Okay.
Because when I was writing the script today, I kept writing 2058.
I'm always like less interested in the dates as soon as it becomes a space thing, because you never, like, it's all relative. You don't know where they are. And,
well,
like, how
yeah,
they
it's good
there.
To know like 500 years in the future.
Yeah,
yeah, like I did my best to cut a lot of that shit out of BattleTech, where it's just like November 22nd, 3061. It's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's it.
So set your calendars, kids.
So there's basically like two important like decades, which is the turn of the 23rd century and the turn of the 26th century.
Okay.
So 2500, 2200. 2500 is where the games take place. A lot of what we'll be talking about takes place in 2200 or around 2200.
Back when space was still alive.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Before it was
before
dead
we
space.
Killed them.
Oh my God. We're off to a good start.
Yeah.
So sometime around the turn of the 26th century, like I said, things go a little south for our pale blue dot.
Oh, yeah.
Humanity has used up nearly all of the viable resources on planet Earth and are using the remainder to stave off an extinction-level event caused by the rapacious use of those resources.
Sounds like something humanity would do.
You think?
I don't know,
this
man.
This is the most far-fetched part of the whole, script.
Like, everything's perfect.
Us?
Yeah,
I mean,
totally fine.
Us? Overuse?
No.
I don't think so.
I've never overdone anything in my life. What'd you say?
Pass me another beer.
Yeah.
Overuse?
Yeah, exactly.
Give me another hit.
That good stuff.
Of that beer. So
give me another hit of those resources.
Yeah. Give me a hit of that bismuth, baby. The remaining humans have realized that they need supplies to survive. Go figure.
What?
And also that there are none left to gather on Earth.
Go figure.
A company known as the Concordance Extraction Corporation, or CEC. So this is like the UAF from
the
Doom.
Yeah.
Or the FedCom from BattleTech. It's just like...
The big evil business boys.
The bad corporation.
The big space corp.
Badcorporation.org.
Yeah.
These guys are admittedly less evil, but they are evil in the capitalist sense where they don't care about consequences.
They are, yeah. It's like they're wanton levels of irresponsibility.
Yeah. They're evil in a very real sense of the word.
If
not like we're going to open portals to hell.
Yeah, well, it's like FedCom.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They're evil simply because they're so rich in power.
That's it.
That ideology does not make sense to us because we can't travel fast. But if you can just travel fast enough, you can burn up as much as you want. Because in theory, there's always going to be more.
Right? Yeah.
And you just keep on going until space, like the Big Bang, pushes everything so far away that you can't even keep up with it because it's moving faster than the speed of light. But
so this company, the CEC, engineer a ship they claim could save all of humanity, the USG Ishimura.
The Ishimura's 200 years old?
Yeah.
Hachi. Oh,
at the time of the games.
Hachi Machi, indeed.
Oh, no, wait, sorry. No, not at the time of the games. It's not 200 years old.
The MSG Ishimura?
I don't have I don't have the date for its creation, but it's nowhere near that old. We're not in 2200 yet. We're in 2500. We're going to flash back.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So around 2500, there's an extinction level event happening on Earth, and they build this machine. It's maybe like a decade old.
Oh, okay.
What's that? The name of that when they do that in movies, when they start off in the middle?
In medias res.
Oh, yeah. That's Emperor's New Groove. You know, he starts off in the jungle, and then it's like, well, let me explain this.
I love that movie. Yeah.
That's what we're doing. I'm just learning of this term, and apparently most of my episodes are in medias res. I am bad at planning. Because I start writing and I'm like, I'm going to talk about the Dead Space games. Where did the Dead Space games start?
No,
I start writing about them. I'm like, there's a lot of backstory here, and I host a podcast about backstory. So let's jump back.
Ethan's a secret director. He just doesn't even know.
So for those who have played the first Dead Space game.
Like me?
You and you?
I've only played the second or the third, and I can't remember which one it is.
The third one sucks!
I think it was two.
I mean, the third, I didn't hate the third one. I think two and three both weren't what I wanted out of a Dead Space game.
Yeah.
I loved the first one because of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the second and third one felt like shooters to me.
Everyone I've talked to says the first one was legitimately scary. The next two were just shooters.
So
yeah, that's my experience.
Sort of. So the first one I find is probably the most consistently spoopy, but the second one does introduce those like raptor type aliens that like peek around corners and chirp at you.
Right, yeah.
And like that, there's a whole sequence there in like a storage yard where there's a bunch of fucking containers everywhere, and they're just like kind of there's like two peeking around.
Yeah.
And there's always another one behind you. It just scares the shit out of you, even though you're armed to the fucking teeth.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, you can like make an acid shockwave gun. And there's co-op, and it's Like, yeah. That game's fucking long, too. Dead Space 3 is, like, 20 hours.
I remember playing it, and I'm, like, getting all these crazy guns and it being so cool, but then, like, the plasma cutter is still the best gun, like, one of the first guns
it is
you
objectively
get.
Still the because, best gun.
So yeah, fucking fun. Because you so can satisfying shoot. To use, just cut their limbs off.
Yeah, you can shoot, forward. Like, for anyone who hasn't played it, it shoots, like, a small, either horizontal or vertical, like, line. Laser, basically, that can just cut things.
Yeah, and necromorphs, they're kind of like zombies, which are, like, the aliens of the game. They're kind of like zombies, but you don't kill them by shooting them in the brain. You kill them by cutting off their limbs. So it's literally, like, you have some enemies which have vertical limbs that you have to chop or horizontal limbs that you have to chop. And you can use the assault rifle, and you have to, like, strafe your line
fucking
or whatever.
Thinking man's game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I love the first game took me so long to beat because I would get so stressed playing it.
Oh, yeah.
That I would literally play it for 2 hours and I'd have to put it down.
Complications.
And I'd have to play like Terraria or something and just like calm the fuck, chill the fuck out.
I think that I would have a much easier time playing it now after beating Resident Evil 7 in VR. I've gone back to things like Amnesia.
Oh, you've been like, you were just like, okay, I ain't no bitch, throw me in the deep end here.
Yeah, it's like I shot up the fear, and now I'm trying to snort it, and it's just not doing anything.
It's not hitting you the same way, you're still chasing that first time.
Yeah, you're mainlining the spooks. And I will they say, do little keys, spookiness, you're just like, oh, it's nothing.
I will say, playing Dead Space by myself in my apartment with all the lights out and my 7.1 surround sound headphones on, was much, much more stressful and scary than Amnesia was the first one. Like, way more scary.
Yeah.
The first time one of those necromorphs just stand, like, you just see a dead body and he stands up and, like, comes at you with these, like, scythes coming out of his head.
Oh.
The panic that sets in, I tell you.
Something primal in your lizard brain is like,
For those of you who have played the first Dead Space, you'll know that the USG Ishimura is the ship upon which the first game takes place. It was designed for the latest and greatest technique in resource gathering.
Planet cracking.
A practice called planet cracking. The Ishimura's job was to mine the other planets for their most rare and valuable resources and take them back to Earth. Even though multiple planet crackers will be made, enough to call them a small fleet, the Ishimura remain the iconic symbol of mankind's will to survive even after all of these decades.
So the planet cracking is just like taking all the resources out of a planet and moving on?
Yeah, like blow it open. I don't know if you ever saw it in the first one. There's like parts in the first game where you can like look out the window and it's got like these laser tethers on like this continent-sized rock that it's like ripped out of the planet and is taking minerals out of.
Yeah.
Do the planets look like hazelnuts or something? Like, what the insides?
they split like cashews.
It's like Ferrero Rochers.
Yeah.
It's just like they're like blasted over like Nutella, just like
globbing on the windshield. Look at the windshield wipers going, just leaving smears.
Oh, like, dude, I was gonna say you'd never be able to use wipers on a fucking on Nutella.
So thanks to planet cracking, mankind was thriving once more and basking in resources aplenty. By the year 2508, the Ishimura had performed 34 successful planet cracks and is in the process of beginning its 35th of a little planet known as Aegis 7.
Is that the planet in the game 1?
That is the planet. So the right after the 35th planet crack.
Say that, sorry.
Right after the 35th planet crack is where the game takes place.
35th?
35th. Okay. Yes.
Mm.
Does that have any significance?
Not really. I mean, does the number 35 mean anything to you?
Yeah, it can if you want.
35 spelled backwards is 666.
I never thought of it that way.
Dude, is this a Doom crossover?
So dumb.
I know, that's what I knew was going to get you because you love that dumb shit.
I love that dumb shit.
Dumb shit.
So, 300 years prior to the creation of the USG Ishimura, something was found on Earth.
What was it?
An alien artifact was discovered by Earth's government in the year 22.
It was on Earth?
Yep.
Oh.
The very first one. It was at first hidden from the public to prevent panic, but one researcher, Michael Altman, who would come to be known as the Reluctant Prophet, ended up leaking the information.
It's like the life of Brian.
Yeah. The Black Marker was discovered by Michael Altman and his team of researchers in an asteroid impact crater off the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico.
It's just a sharpie. It killed the dinosaurs! Are you fucking kidding?
It was concluded that the marker landed on Earth along with an asteroid that caused the mass extinction of the dinosaurs some 65 million years ago.
Oh my god.
Wait, is it just a sharpie? A black marker?
Yeah, it's a black marker. On it, like, 5 times today when researching it, I kept trying to pull up black marker and red marker, and I kept, like, sharpie is the first thing to come up when you type that. You have to do black marker Dead Space, but I kept doing it.
Oh my god.
Because I kept closing my tabs like an idiot. So yeah, it was it came with the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs, is what they conclude. Altman's findings and release of the information would spawn a religion known as Unitology, and it spread faster than any other religion in history.
Dang.
I mean, very physical proof of this obviously. So yeah. what the black marker was, I guess I should probably touch on it.
It's like that twisted thing, eh?
It looks kind of like a helix. It stands probably like 50 feet tall.
Oh, it's huge.
It's big, like 50 feet tall, okay, that much. Like 10 times me. Less than that.
Yeah.
10, well, 10 knees on my shoulder. Like 10 of me standing on my own shoulders is how big.
Where do I get that?
But it's tall.
Yeah, I want 10 Ethans.
Subscribe to Lore Boys Premium. And
yeah. Where can we get 9 more Ethans today?
Yeah. I got some back at home.
I was because I was thinking about like the marker itself in Dead Space 1 is like not big. It's like the size of a fridge because you like push it around.
That's a piece of the marker.
Oh.
Yeah. Because do you remember at the end of Dead Space 1 when
you bring it back?
He's getting in the ship and he's leaving. He's looking at the full marker there.
Okay.
Marker. Yeah, you guys get way ahead of me.
We are getting way ahead of everything.
Sorry, never mind.
It is big. What you can push around is a piece of the marker.
Okay.
That they take off.
Okay.
We're not gonna really touch on the piece of the marker today. It's not really relevant. You could chip pieces off sometimes.
Okay.
What I'll say about it.
Fun fact.
So a marker, a giant 50-foot helix looking thing, crashes into Earth.
Covered in runes.
Yeah, like, spooky alien runes.
Carvings and like hieroglyphs that are indecipherable at the time. Okay. So Altman's finding and releasing the information spawned the religion Unitology. Michael Altman, like I said, would come to be known as the reluctant prophet because he was not a believer in Unitology, nor did he found the religion. He was only the scientist at the crater who was immune to the effects or the dead loved ones' message of the marker.
The what?
So what are the effects of the marker?
Yeah.
Mostly the marker emits a specific frequency. The effects of living humans exposed to this frequency vary. A majority of humans are unable to decipher the signal, thus perceiving it as mere noises, images, and meanings without coherence, which ultimately causes the person to become paranoid and prone to constant hallucinations. So if you're most people, when they get close to the marker, they just go crazy. They start seeing stuff. And
they start living like they're in the movie Dead Spaceballs.
They're right beside John Candy in a fursuit, yeah. Which is my fetish.
The John Candy part.
Yeah, John Candy in a fursuit.
Yeah.
Call him Uncle Fuck.
Oh my god.
That's good. That's 2 good laughs I got out of Ethan. I'm going home. I'm done.
You're slaying me today, Peter.
I'm fucking beaked.
So a marker tended to create the illusion of a loved one, like in the games Isaac Clarke sees his girlfriend.
What's her name?
Mia.
You're putting me on blast.
Margaret.
No, it's like Caroline or something.
It's not Caroline.
No, that's
Caroline.
A bad... Caroline! It's Camellia. It's the Hall & Oates woman.
Camellia.
Nicole Brennan.
Yeah.
Dr. Brennan. I have the volumes 1-6 of the comic series.
Oh yeah.
Which is like Nicole on the planet before as the planet crack happens when they find the, spoiler alert for this podcast, they're gonna find a marker on the planet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, really interesting. Maybe I'll lend it to you if you want to read it. So when the frequency comes into contact with dead organic tissue, it has the capacity to reanimate cells, creating necromorphs.
That doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's just, that's like magic.
Yeah, it's like zombies or whatever.
Zambos.
But hey, it's a video game, Peter.
I demand reality.
Peter, it's not real life.
Peter,
this is 300 years in the future. Maybe they've discovered the
technology. Didn't I tell you how much I love the fact it takes a month and a half to go between planets and Battletech and how cool I think that is? Yeah. How fucking boring I am?
No, Peter, don't offend him. He's pointing a plasma cutter right at your right arm right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Peter, I hate to be the one to tell you this. A month and a half between planets... It's not that is that's like maybe unrealistically fast.
That's fast.
They never would have reached the outer rim, my dude, at realistic speeds.
That's true.
Throw in the my dude for some soft
my dude.
Yeah.
My dude. Fine. Whatever.
So necromorphs, we kind of touched on them earlier. They have like sides coming out of their head and stuff.
Yeah, they get really deformed and fucked up.
Can you just describe a necromorph in its entirety?
There's a few.
The Webster's Dictionary defines them as mutated and reanimated corpses reshaped into horrific new forms by a recombinant extraterrestrial infection.
Did you just That was really good. If
that's
that
what
was
I have written down.
Okay, okay. I was going to say, wow.
Yeah, like he just improvises. Yeah. He throws in recombinant. Yeah.
No.
That's a word people say.
Yeah.
That's a word I say all the time.
I have a word of the day calendar. That was the word today.
So. No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so in game, there's a lot of different forms. Basically, every enemy you fight is a form of necromorph.
Yeah.
The most common one, I don't know what they're called, but they're just like a human, but they also have like scythe arms.
I think they're called slashers.
That makes sense, yeah.
I do. It's like a Doc Ock from Spider-Man who never went to the gym and is undead.
Yeah, they're naked.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they're naked, they have their arms, and then also their robot arms. And
they're not robot arms. They're not robot arms.
They're big, like extra bony arms with like scythes, like a
they
praying mantis.
They have scythes that come out of the palms.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's like a praying mantis, and they come at you like, and they'll fake death, and they can like hide their scythes, and then so you'll just see like you see dead bodies throughout the game because yeah. When Isaac Clarke arrives at the USG Ishimura, everybody on it is dead. Every yeah. single other person is dead. So you'll see like dead bodies all over the place, and there will be this one dead body that decides to get up and come at you with these.
Oh
these
yeah,
crazy,
you guys are giving me
arms.
Flashbacks actually from like walking through a nursery and then it like jumped up and got.
Yeah. Yeah, there's babies.
Yeah,
that have like tentacles coming out of them. There's the I just call them the panther ones. They're the ones that kind of have like the two legs, a little snake tail that like kind of jump around.
Yeah,
and there's the weird bat ones with the proboscis that they can like poke into people.
What's
and
a proboscis?
It's the thing Scorpion that butterflies tip? Use to drink nectar.
It's like a what a mosquito uses to bite you.
It's a straw mouth.
I've always pronounced it proboscis, but maybe it's pronounced proboscis.
I don't know.
I feel like you know what's crazy? We've been doing this for a year. I feel like we've had this discussion on the podcast before.
No, that was about hibiscus being a dance or something.
Okay. All right. Oh, I remember that debate. See, me and Peter didn't talk for weeks.
That's why we went on hiatus.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't be in the same fucking room as you.
It's a dance, goddammit! My mother taught it to me when I was a kid.
I'm like almost 100% sure we had that conversation.
I believe
it. I know, it's really hard to remember all the stuff we did when we were drunk. If we did, it's recorded. It's out there somewhere.
Yeah. So they come in lots of different shapes and sizes, but one thing is pretty consistent. The resulting creatures are extremely aggressive and will attack any uninfected organism on sight.
There's the big fat ones that cut themselves open. They're full of tiny little spiders.
Yeah.
Or like little raviolis that like flip-flop all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The Earth government, knowing the effects of this first marker after a bit, because the first team that went there, Michael Altman was the only one immune to the paranoia and hallucinations that it caused.
Found this alien rock and everybody went crazy. Should we tell anybody? I'm assuming their answer is no.
Well, they said no, but then Michael Altman spilled the beans.
Oh.
He said, we found this alien rock. I'm the only one who survived, basically.
Did he move to Russia to like not get extradited to the United States?
I didn't write this bit down, but he got he was killed at some point.
Oh. And Jack Ruby.
you know, it's cool. There's two sides of it. Some people say the Unitologists, the religion that was founded and held him as their reluctant prophet and said, we worship the black marker. They said, oh, he was killed by the government because he had some secrets. And then the government said, we think he was killed by Unitologists, like fanatics, basically, because he was not a Unitologist.
Not
was,
pious enough.
Well, he was not a Unitologist at all. He just released the information.
Did the Unitologists use the metric system or the imperial
system? The metric system. Okay. I mean, come on.
The right unit of measurement.
Yeah. The right units. So the Earth government, knowing the effects of this first marker, decided to attempt to reverse engineer it in the name of limitless energy and research. So this thing, the black marker, is capable of producing like unlimited power.
Okay. I didn't know, because that's a really big leap of logic. Like, look, it can raise the dead and makes people go crazy. What if it could make my car? What if I could put it in my car?
Yeah, what if I hook it up to my car battery?
Yeah, exactly.
What'll it do for me? Huh?
Yeah. You can like, read fucking marker.
You can recharge your Prius, but just bring a gun.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Look,
wear a tinfoil hat.
If the steering wheel turns into some bloody blades and cuts your hands off, yep. Yeah. We warned you. Hey. It's like you get to a crash, instead of the airbag deploying, it's like this meat sack.
Yeah, it's a fucking necromorphs in the back. Yeah. Oh my god. So the copies, they do end up making copies, though the copies are imperfect, and they come out more reddish, earning the names Red Markers.
Oh, I can follow that train of thought.
Yeah. So it's probably because whatever the extraterrestrial resource that they used to make the original one doesn't exist on Earth. So earlier in the podcast, I mentioned that they were running out of bismuth apparently bismuth is red, and people think it's bismuth that they used instead.
Sure.
I thought that was a place.
Yeah, it is. It also is, though.
It's also in Pepto-Bismol. That's where they get the biz.
Hey, Pepto-Bismol. Like, is it a pinkish hue because of all the white medicine in there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, white and red.
Yeah, that makes pink.
My tummy's upset. Here, have some red marker. Thanks, Mom. It turns into a monster.
So I have a footnote here that I won't really get on. I won't touch on too much, but I will mention it. There was a civil war for the humans around this time, where there was like the Outer Rim, basically the clans.
Oh,
were called the Sovereign Colonies, and they had a civil war where they wanted to break free from the Earth government. And apparently, some sources claim that they were the ones that created the red markers. They like struck at Earth, stole the black marker, and then ended up creating it. Other sources say like Unitology was behind the revolt from the Sovereign Colonies, and
they like seeded dissent.
Yeah, and basically like there was a man behind the curtain who said like, oh, go steal the black marker and reverse engineer it because we worship it and we want more things to worship.
Yeah.
So these markers continue to be revered by Unitologists who have based their religion on them. Unitologists, while they don't know the meaning of the inscriptions on the markers, puzzle over it. Most believe that the message there will reveal the true origin and meaning of human life. They believe the marker contains a code that holds the key to eternal life for humans and can bring about a physical paradise to save all of mankind.
That's another.
It's actually just a parallel to the Lion King soundtrack where, you know, it sounds really fancy, but if you translate it, it just says, I am a lion.
I'm a lion.
I am a marker. This is a marker. Yeah. Here is my marker.
From space.
Exactly.
A marker come from space.
Yeah.
That's another kind of crazy leap of logic where they were just like, yeah, okay, I can't read it, but what it probably says, secret to eternal life. Yeah. Just hear me out. And then everybody apparently was just like, yeah, that's probably what it says. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like one of those Chinese tattoos that just says like dumplings on it. It's like, yeah, man, it means like purity and commitment.
What is everyone afraid of? Death. Something comes out of like nowhere and then is there. It's so, I think that's the easiest thing to convince the masses with.
Cue the elephant from the Flintstones looking at the camera going, it's religion.
Like one guy suggested this. It's just like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's probably true.
So I didn't touch too much on Unitology, but yeah, it's a cult that follows it, and they end up actually weaponizing at a certain point, and I don't know if I wrote it down at any point in here. So Jacob Danik is the leader of Unitology, and he basically forms a special, like a sect of the religion, which is like hyper violent and is willing to fight for the markers and all this other stuff.
Okay, yeah. There's always got to be one.
It's always that
fight
one.
Fight for your right to marker. Sorry, I'm like pouring wine right now, so I'm away from the mic. I had to swing back. I gotta get this joke on the recording.
Hold the wine. Hold that wine. So one copy of the black marker, known as Marker 3A, was sent to Aegis 7 for study, research, and experimentation. Do you guys remember what Aegis 7 was?
Yeah, they exploded it for resources in the first game.
Yeah, well, that's...
Well, Aegis 7 was the 35th cracker.
What's that? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the Tragically Hip song.
The 35th cracker. The team that was sent to study it on this distant planet makes the discovery that the code written on the marker matches the necromorph contagion. And they also note that Marker 3A emitted a field or dead space that prevented necromorph DNA from replicating.
Oh.
I included that because in the wiki, the words dead space to describe things in general was so prevalent. Like anytime they talked about like, oh, it's empty space, they wouldn't call it empty space. It's dead space in quotation.
I thought it was very good.
As time goes on, the team does go crazy. Like most people do.
Dang.
People turn into necromorphs.
Dang.
And they are becoming overrun.
Fuck, 3 for 3, man.
That's
like evil business boy bingo. Yeah. Just like, oh, god damn. Everybody I sent out on this experiment was fucking crazy. Died and then turned into flesh-eating monsters. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Hey, so team studying Marker 3A, are you guys there? Okay, so how are things going down there? Well, okay. Okay, people are going crazy? Well, that's not good. Are people turning into necromorphs? Oh, they are. Okay.
Are you guys getting overrun? Oh, you are. Okay. Well, that's 3 for 3, isn't it? people are going crazy. Turn into necromorphs. And you're being overrun? Oh, okay. This is right. Okay.
I'm going to grab lunch.
Yeah, I'm going to grab lunch, and then we'll set something up for you guys.
I'll tell the board of directors at our meeting on Thursday. I know we are currently the previous Friday, so you can hold it down for 6 days.
Could you send me an email? Send an email, and we'll set up a calendar event for it.
Yeah, like an Outlook.
Let your families know in 10 to 15 business days.
Oh, fuck, 15 business days? You can do like an internet installation.
So one scientist creates what he calls a pedestal, something he allegedly saw in a vision.
I am doubting that this man invented the pedestal.
Something he calls a pedestal. Yeah. It's a special thing.
He's really
Look at this. I call it a pedestal.
Look and behold.
Yeah.
Look, me immortals, behold the power of science.
Place whatever you wish upon it.
And he's really like building up this pedestal, man. He's putting the pedestal on a pedestal.
Yeah, look at the pedestals on a pedestal.
He's so funny. So he's like, "You're really putting this up on a pedestal?" He's like, "What?
What?"
He's like, "Why'd you say that?"
Yeah.
It has been an expression for 500 years.
Where did you get that word?
People say it all the time, man.
No, that's mine. I came up with it myself.
So then he made it. Then he turned the marker evil to get revenge on the fucking grammar.
Yeah. Grammar's the real enemy in Dead Space.
So, Dead Space quotes.
Yeah, exactly.
So this scientist basically got a vision. Just like, everybody's going crazy. Everybody's hallucinating. Everybody's getting super paranoid. And this guy gets a vision. And he's like, "Guys, I know what we got to do to stop it.
I know we're all having nightmares.
I know we're having nightmares. All having nightmares. But I just got a vision."
John Candy.
And it was of this thing, which amplifies the dead space made by the marker. So like I just said,
I love the fact that you say it that way. You could totally, on the recording, hear the air quotes. Yeah. Dead space. You can hear your arms moving.
If I say dead space and it doesn't sound like it's in quotations, Jamie will add them in post.
Yeah.
He'll add the quotations in post.
Yeah dude.
So,
magic of show business.
So like I said, marker 3A emits a field which prevents necromorph DNA from replicating. So this particular marker does emit a field where necromorphs don't necessarily happen.
Oh, but I remember this in the game. That's why they have to go put it back or whatever. Make us whole again.
In its spot in the planet, it doesn't do bad things. It makes people go crazy, but it doesn't turn people into crazy monsters.
Yeah.
But then they decide to move it, and it starts making people into crazy monsters. Oh,
yeah.
But before that...
It was the buried part that makes them into monsters. Just, you gotta cover up the buried part again. Yeah. You can't move it around.
So they move it, and everyone starts turning into necromorphs, and this guy has a vision, what he thinks from the marker, saying, "Make us whole again."
Yeah.
"Put us back in our spot," but he doesn't do that. He finds a way to amplify the dead space region around the marker. And then they end up using it to beat back and seal away what's called the hive mind and the rest of the infection within the planet.
That was a big worm.
Yeah, that's like one of the big bosses.
It's the last boss.
It's the last boss.
In the first game.
It's a worm?
You might say the big boss.
Okay.
It's a big worm, yeah. It's got tentacles.
Worm with tentacles. That sounds more like a millipede or something.
Fine, yeah, whatever.
Feet.
Because worms don't have feet, do they?
No.
Most of the ones...
A worm basically is a tentacle when you
They
think
have
about
like
it.
Those spiky little bits on them if you ever touch one so they can move forwards in the dirt.
A yeah, proboscis.
Worms don't
they've
really...
got proboscis all over the place. They've got hibiscus plants everywhere. If worms had feet, they'd all have like little tiny rain boots because they come out in the rain all the time.
If worms had feet. That's the name of an album right there.
Yeah, like a really good alt rock album. Yeah. And you're well like the single that you'd released before the album would be called Tiny Rain Boots.
Yeah,
Tiny Rain Boots.
Yeah, you're we're just creating this whole new like Portland band right now.
Oh yeah.
You're welcome, nameless band in Portland.
Yeah, I saw Doug Stanhope this week, and they like comedians often compare Montreal to like the Portland of Canada basically.
Yeah.
So that's us. We
Portland,
can make
Maine,
thing.
Right?
Yes. That's what I was talking about.
That's the one that everyone talks about when they say Portland.
Totally.
So they end up stealing away the hive mind, which was like the leader of the necromorphs at the time.
Yeah.
And the rest of the infection within the planet. Though they are still scenario 5'd by the rest of mankind. Scenario 5 is basically where this company, when, or not this company, sorry, before the company, but when things go bad on an alien planet, they just nuke the whole thing and kill all life on the surface.
Five is like a bad number for a lot of things. A stage 5 tear whenever you're giving birth, you can only imagine what that is.
Is that to the butthole?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ouch.
I can't imagine.
Nuke it. Get rid of it. Yeah. Just blow up the hospital.
Nuke the butthole.
Yeah, exactly.
Send in the nukes.
Yeah.
Every hospital has nukes underneath it for just such an
occasion. Yeah. We've got a hostile butthole in a scenario 5, a stage 5 terror up here. Yeah. Send up the nukes.
You need two doctors with the same key. Like.
Yeah. So.
But the keyholes are actually ripped into each other.
So the scenario 5 kills all life on the surface.
But they're underground.
But they just sealed away the hive mind and the rest of the necromorphs underground. So, well, it turns out that there's more to necromorphs than just being horrific spiny boys.
Okay.
The sole purpose of necromorphs seems to be to acquire more bodies and flesh to convert and spread the infection.
Blood for the blood god.
Kind of like zombies, or blood for the blood god, if you will.
Sure.
Some unitologists actually believe that they are the heralds of humanity's ascension. So at a certain point, unitology kind of goes to, like, necromorphs are a thing. The black marker is causing them on Earth if you leave a dead body near it for too long, you know? The infection never really spreads on Earth. But people are aware, like, that's what happens. And unitologists say, like, hey, like, this is what should happen. We should... Well, let's join. Let's be one with it.
I like getting stabbed in the forehead with like a spiny thing, and then I turn into a crazy monster, and
having my corpse be puppeted around.
I attack my friends and family with reckless abandon.
Yeah, I'm making them one with me.
So. Yeah, forearms are better than two. You damn right.
Yeah.
So the necromorphs are controlled. They're not just mindless. Via the markers, by a group of entities known as the Brethren Moons. We touched on before the episode started.
Yeah, that I had mentioned the Brother Moons. This is because Dead Space 3 is so fucking stupid.
Peter said it's complete lunacy before the class, and I thought it was very funny.
Before the class?
The cast. I meant to say cast, and then I just messed up another word.
I love that you said class, though.
Before class. Peter's the teacher. Oh, no, Ethan's the teacher.
Yeah.
Peter's the snarky guy at the back of the class. He always has a quick-witted thing to say.
Yeah, Peter's the me in class.
Ethan's the teacher. Peter's the Ethan. James, you can be James.
Okay. I liked that lunacy as a way to describe the brotherhood.
I didn't intend on that. I was still hungover when I walked in, so I was not as quick-witted as I may normally be. So in Dead Space 3, you fight one by using
a brother of the moon?
A Brethren Moon.
Yeah, it's like a big angry moon.
So
it's so fucking stupid.
So Brethren Moons are gigantic spacefaring necromorphs created by infecting an entire planet with necromorph DNA. Brethren Moon, it will be discovered, are the source of the Maker signals.
Okay.
So the moons consume new worlds and reproduce by sending out black markers, which travel through space and impact upon planets.
You know what they really missed an opportunity here with zombie dinosaurs? That would have been fucking sweet.
I'm picturing like the Majora's Mask moon, like just ever moving closer and then consuming worlds. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. No, they're much dumber. They have like big tentacles and like a big eye coming out of them. You shoot like rocks at one of them.
Yeah.
When you fight a moon as Isaac Clarke. In Dead Space 3, for the record, spoilers. And it's just as fucking stupid as that sounds.
What's stupider, fighting a moon or fighting a windmill?
Oh, yeah. Okay, if we're going to bring
the
it
moon.
Back.
Fighting the moon. It's got to be fighting the moon is stupider than fighting a windmill. from the perspective of Don Quixote.
I was about to say, I think I just have our artwork now. It's Don Quixote fighting like some sort of infested windmill.
Or Isaac Clarke fighting an infested
windmill. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or Don Quixote fighting the moon.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Don Quixote's going to be there, okay?
So, like,
high class boys.
The whole thing seems to be, in response to your zombie dinosaurs comment, it seems to be that the Brethren Moon and the necromorphs and the markers target intelligent life. It's unknown if the markers target planets capable of intelligent life or if, and this is...
That wouldn't make any sense. Exactly. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, they target intelligent life, so they blast the dinosaurs, and it's just like... I guess it paid off, but it's like some sort of like risky stock trade. It was like, no, trust me, other moons. Yeah. This is totally going to be fine. We just need to be patient for 70 million years.
70 million years. Maybe something will come around. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like mining for Bitcoin.
How old's our moon? Like,
Our moon?
Yeah. Like a billion or something?
Yeah.
Something. It's from... it'd be older than...
Older
than... It's like 5-6 billion years old.
No.
It's parts of Earth and another planet,
Earth,
as far as I know.
Earth is 4 billion years old.
Yeah.
Earth was impacted by an asteroid at some point in the last four
billion. Wasn't it like another planet
years.
Called Thea?
I don't know.
Okay.
I doubt it was a planet.
I think it was Caroline.
Caroline! but yeah, and then the moon basically broke off from Earth. But
yeah.
Jacob Danik, the leader of Unitology, thinks that the markers landed on Earth and were responsible for creating intelligent life.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or they just target every planet capable of hosting intelligent life, assuming it's within a certain range, like Earth, you know?
Yeah.
Within that sweet spot. And they just target every planet like that and just wait for intelligent life.
Brother Moon's really big on evolution. They were just like, look,
yeah.
I know everybody, like everything on Earth right now is either a rat or a giant dinosaur, but at some point we are going to have perfect little pink bodies to live inside of. Don't you worry.
Chef kiss.
Hashtag chef kiss.
So the markers they send out.
Chef Boyardee Moon.
So the markers they send out will do as they did on Earth. They'll cause hallucinations and paranoia and encourage intelligent life to replicate the markers.
Oh,
I was holding it.
That's what you were doing.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to move it. What the fuck?
It's not that. It's that one there.
How the hell did that happen?
I did move it forward like a little bit because like my back was starting to sweat from staying on right across, but then it fell down.
Okay.
I'll just do that take from the top.
Yeah, sorry.
The markers will do as they did on Earth. They'll cause hallucinations and paranoia and encourage intelligent life to replicate the markers.
Bunch of fucking paranoid dinosaurs.
What a bunch of idiots. That'll never work on humans, am I right? All while affecting dead
credits. Do. It's just like where it ends.
Yeah. Or it's the sunny intro. Right?
Oh yeah.
Humans replicate red marker. Humans replicate black mark. All while affecting dead organic tissue and creating necromorphs. Once the necromorph infestation claims the majority of a planet's population, the marker will initiate a convergence event, or the creation of a new brethren moon, which was the end of Dead Space 3, right? It was the convergence event where the moon that you fight was the moon that was just created.
Does it give birth? Like, does it come out of a crater of another moon?
I don't know. I haven't played Dead Space 3.
I'm trying to remember what it looks like. It is just like a bit... It's like a bunch of tentacles of meat coming out of a moon. Yeah.
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 It's a planet-sized circle with tentacles coming out. It's a hentai moon.
Exactly.
So how it's created, once the convergence is begun, the flesh of necromorphs and other dead tissue within the marker's area of influence are thrown into the stratosphere. So everyone just like raptures the fuck out, where they form a new moon. So it's not like surrounding a planet or moon.
Oh, it doesn't hatch out of the planet.
No, it's like a big chunk of flesh that graviton beamed up.
Okay.
Ew.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah,
that's gross.
Oh, it's gross in here. The marker is then lifted up as well, where it moves to the center of the brethren moon so that it may communicate with the rest of the network. So whatever this thing is, it seems like the marker is an essential tool.
Okay.
Or it seems more like an essential tool than its brain.
Well, you got to leave your house when they're picking up everybody leaving the planet. You got to bring your wallet, your phone, and your keys.
Well, yeah. Sounds like an antenna to me.
Your wallet, your phone, your keys, your marker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Your evil marker.
Yeah, it's kind of like an antenna, and they use it for dire means. One scientist in the game speculates, or in the games series, I guess, speculates that all life between the origin of the moons and humanity's home system has been extinguished by the moons. So he thinks that...
Who's this?
I didn't write down his name.
Oh, okay.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Dr. Uncommon, Moon theorist.
It's an uncommon answer to the Fermi paradox. Do you guys know what the Fermi paradox is?
Neither.
Yes. Oh, I've heard it.
Rack your brain.
I watched Number File thing about it.
There's a good Kurtzka chat on it.
Wait, can you give me a hint?
It's about aliens.
It's about it. Oh, the Fermi paradox is that there are... this many suns, there are this many planets to every sun, there are so many possibilities that it's impossible that they're not aliens.
No, I love it, but no.
No?
It's,
which is
The Fermi paradox states that what you just said is a good place to say. Like, there's no chance that there's not aliens out there, but why has humanity never found aliens? We're a relatively young species in this in terms of scale of the universe. So why have we never been able to contact another alien race? Because we can reach really far out at the speed of light.
Our communications are not moving as fast as everything is moving away from each other?
The Fermi paradox states that there must be some sort of extinction level event that happens to every single intelligent species that happens in the universe. That's the only way that it can be quiet out there, is that every single species, it reaches a certain point and then it's lights out. And how do you get past that?
Oh, okay.
So this thing's answer to why the Fermi paradox exists is because
God moons ate everybody.
Humanity has never made contact with aliens because a giant species of apex predator has absorbed most, if not all, organic tissue within our galaxy, leaving much
dead space.
You can add those quotations in post, right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I'll have to put them in.
little beeps over there. You do fight alien necromorphs in Dead Space 3, though. There are legit aliens, not just necromorphs, in the third game. Because you go to an alien planet.
Oh, really?
That has a brother moon on it.
They're not
so that third game. That third game is really fucking long. Like, you know, like most of the marketing shows like snow and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's just part of it.
Oh, yeah.
You start, and the first like 5-6 hours are just on a spaceship.
I definitely played Dead Space 2 now that I'm hearing about
this. Yeah. Yeah, you like start on a spaceship, and then you go down to the ice planet. And then you go to another alien planet, and then you fight alien zombies.
Okay.
Like, you like, instead of human zombies.
Human zombies?
Yeah.
Okay, but even if as long as they're still zombies, then guess it's like, confirmed.
They're right? Some kind of alien race. They're weird looking. Yeah. They're neat. Like, the art in Dead Space is even good. But, they're like legit aliens that are brought back from the dead.
Yeah. So Aegis 7 had been undergoing this transformation when the researchers studying Marker 3A had succumbed to its influence, but it was stopped when they sealed the hive mind underground and extinguished all surface life on the planet. Like I said.
Oh, okay.
That is the, like I said, I have volumes 1 through 6 of the
comic
books. 200 years later, Aegis 7 has become the site of an illegal mining operation by the Concordance Extraction Company. So remember when we said, they don't care about the consequences.
Yeah, we'll frack wherever the fuck we want.
Yeah, so
drinking water be damned.
Frack
off. The Planet Cracker goes to planets and cracks them, if you will.
Okay. crack frackle pop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's their slogan.
Yeah, exactly.
They have
crack frackle pop.
Three gnomes are their company spokespeople.
Yeah,
and crack frackle and pop are their names. So before they frackle the planet,
shale crispies like
pieces. Oh, bismuth puffs.
A bunch of rocks.
Puffed up rock stuff. Wait, listen.
Oh, yeah.
It's just rocks.
It's that frequency that drives you crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's like, I love pouring milk into my shale crispies, and then like milk, and then his mom just goes fucking crazy and tears him apart. Yeah,
yeah. Slits his dad's throat in front of him. Like,
yeah. His dad gets up and is like a monster.
How's that for some artwork? Like a kid with like a bowl of like,
rocks,
of like little helixes, and then just like crazy eyes. Like,
oh my god, yeah.
Kill
yeah.
your parents.
And then I can
drop out of school.
Start a podcast.
Yeah.
Then I,
invest in Aflac.
Yeah, that might actually be some really good artwork. I can't remember what I had mentioned earlier.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
It might be like the most, because I do love the ones that are complete nonsense. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like, yeah, this episode's about Dead Space. Here's a kid eating a bowl of rocks. Yeah. Like, that's all good.
The other one was Coyote fighting the moon, but we can talk shop after.
Oh, yeah. And brick! Yeah.
So before the Ishimura shows up to crack a planet, they send a team there to prep it, basically.
Sorry, I just want to go back to that sentence that Jamie said. The last one was Don Quixote fighting the moon. Like, oh yeah, that's true. That makes perfect sense. Let's go. You found the Easter egg, kids.
Yeah.
You listened far enough.
So the Ishimura, when it goes to a planet, the team lands before it gets there to prep the planet for the cracking, and they uncover the marker.
Oh. They prep the planet for the crack, and they're just like, they just like bomb it with fucking Vaseline.
You ready?
Yeah. Prep the butthole for the nukes. So
I want that on a t-shirt.
Prep the butthole for the nukes. Pregnancy. colon. No pun intended.
Hey.
Where are
yeah,
we?
Yeah, so the
we're about stage five into the podcast.
Oh,
now,
fuck. So. Yes.
Don't you mean scenario five?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Kill it.
So the comic books take place. It's the team that goes before the Ishimura, including Isaac Clarke, protagonist for the series. His girlfriend goes. She works for the CEC, and she goes to prep the planet. And yeah. they uncover a marker, and they decide to move it. And it makes everyone go crazy, and it kills everyone on the planet. Then the Ishimura arrives, and...
they bring it up to the Ishimura, don't they?
They bring it up to the Ishimura, and along with some necromorphs, and it kills everyone in the Ishimura.
Dang.
And when Isaac Clarke shows up, he shows up to the Ishimura, and everyone's dead, and barring a couple people, but...
Yeah, like whatever the dude and the woman he shows up with.
Yeah, exactly.
Drinking his white Russian.
Yeah. the necromorph speed on his carpet.
Yeah.
So the marker is uncovered 5 weeks before the arrival of the Ishimura.
I thought this was just a necromorph with like the bathrobe and the Ray-Bans on.
And they also unseal the hive mind, which unleashes all the necromorphs that were still buried underground. And they begin to complete their own convergence event, but it never ends up happening. The comic actually starts, like, the first page in the comic is, like, one of the scientists saying, like just nuke the planet. Like, kill, like, scenario five, kill everything on the planet. That, and then it does an in media res.
Oh!
Back to five weeks earlier.
Were you playing the long con right now? Were you, like, this is why you set up the podcast?
I wasn't, but I love that it worked out.
Yeah.
And that's the lore and lead up to Dead Space, guys.
Cool. Oh, good. I'm gonna download the second one again. I enjoyed
download
my
the first one, dude.
I
have the first one on Origin.
Okay, cool. It should.
You have it on Origin?
It was free.
Huh, I have it on Steam.
I see. I still have that $20 Steam card from like Christmas, so I need to use that on something. Actually.
Don't use it on Dead Space 2.
No?
Use it on Dead Space 1, if anything.
Well, that's what I mean. I already have Dead Space 2.
So. Oh, there you go. You can borrow Dead Space 1.
Okay, cool.
Steam lets you do that, remember?
Does it?
Yeah, family sharing.
You're playing like Doom. Remember?
Are we family? But I thought I was on your Steam, but this is not important for the podcast.
Wait a second.
For everyone listening at home, you can, if you log into someone else's Steam and install a game and then open your Steam, it should show up in your library and you can click to play it and it'll show up on the person who owns its Steam and saying, do you want to allow this person to play this game?
Yes, I used to do that when with Jesse. Yeah, exactly.
Whichever one of the other lore boys gets a PlayStation first, I get to family share with one person. You can have access to my over 100 games if you just get
a over 100 games.
I do.
I have 109 on Steam.
Yeah. I have like 20 on Steam. I'm a fake gamer girl, guys.
I think I have like 80 on Steam, I think. I always wait until the Steam sales and buy anything that's under $5.
Just buy it, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I just punched your dog.
I have under 20. I have maybe 20, and I haven't played every game on my Steam library.
I've had my PlayStation certainly for not. Almost 3 years, and every month you get 2 to 3 games for free.
Yeah, so, on PS Plus.
Most of those 100 games I didn't pay for, but I have 100.
Yeah, still having them. That's something. I have Neopets.
Oh, dude, that's I honestly liked Neopets, and I would play it today.
You can quote me. Can't you?
I think the servers closed last year.
Oh.
But I could be wrong.
I'm canceling my date and finding out.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe your date likes Neopets.
Why don't you guys just make your date that?
Yeah, yeah. Let's fucking raise a Grundo together or something.
Hey, it's a good test. It's a good test.
Hey, baby, you want to come over and see my Grundo?
And like she understands.
Yeah.
The one.
Just so you know, it's famished.
Yeah. So Peter, if we were looking for you on the internet,
if you're looking for my Grundo,
if somebody wanted to see your Grundo, where do they go?
At Pete O'Donoghue on Twitter. If you can spell it, you can follow me. I do the artwork on loreboys.wordpress.com and on O'Manahue at DeviantArt if you want to download your 1080p versions.
Awesome.
Also our Twitch channel, I do all the artwork for that. I'm the artist.
He's the artist.
That's it.
He's the delicate soul.
I am.
And James.
I'm frail.
You can find me on PlayStation at JAYMILLK64 if
Jake's
you want to
find
me
milkshake.
On Steam. I won't buy you a milkshake.
Oh, I'm one-armed man.
I wanted to give one quick shout-out. I just got in touch with an old friend who she's an aspiring Twitch streamer, and she's doing very well lately, and I really recommend going check out her channel.
Which is what?
It is twitch.tv/catlink,
Katlink. She's really funny, and just check her out. She's really cool.
What does she play?
She plays a ton of stuff. She does her own, like...
just like us.
Yep. She does a bunch of, like...
variety streamers.
3D animation stuff. Like, she's into that. So sometimes she works on that stuff.
Works on Blender.
Yeah. Really, really... really cool person. I love her and her boyfriend, and they're trying to make it on Steam, and they're doing great, so check them out. But you can find Ethan where?
I'm at Ethan and the Dead Man on most platforms. If you like the show, please tell your friends. I know most of you listening have told your friends, and we really, really, really appreciate it. If you have the time, log into iTunes, create an iTunes account, leave us a review. Just search the Lore Boys because it really helps us out.
Also, if you Google the Lore Boys, like even for me, yeah, when I Google it at home, like the predictive result is that. But if you Google it, like just from anywhere, we're like the first 20 results.
But if you want to do something to help us out in like the most way possible for the least amount of time, go on iTunes and leave us a review.
Yeah,
because that helps us punch up.
Just
right?
Stars. And, you don't need to write anything.
Yeah, it really helps us punch above our weight.
Yes.
Yeah. Also,
so,
if you,
so good actually.
Yeah, yeah. If you really want to help us out in the very immediate present, you can subscribe to Lore Boys Premium.
Yep.
It's our premium service. We offer special bonuses to anyone who decides to subscribe.
Frequent and sometimes some would say perverted gifts.
Yeah. It's very
wouldn't say that.
It's very affordable. We have a special right now. It's only $99.99 a month, which is basically peanuts, honestly.
Yeah.
We obviously make thousands of dollars a week off this podcast, so... you know, $99 a month is incomprehensibly small to us.
Our day jobs are just hobbies, really.
They're hobbies, yeah. That's what I would say. I mean, this is where we make most of our money. But for everyone who subscribes this week to Lore Boys Premium, we have a very special offer. I am offering myself, or should I say the clones of myself, you can...
nine other Ethans?
For each time you subscribe, you will get an Ethan. If you subscribe, if you make nine accounts and subscribe nine times, you will get nine Ethans that you can stack.
They only can stand on each other. They're inseparable.
Yeah. I mean, they don't like to be apart from each other. That is for sure. They do a lot of fucking...
No, that's too much of a mental picture. I know you too well.
If you're squeamish, then maybe keep them separated, but they will get very ornery, I will say. They're like guinea pigs. You don't want to leave them apart for too long.
Oh, gotta keep them separated.
I never had a guinea pig.
Oh, poor you.
But you do have an Ethan.
I do, yeah.
Also, for everyone who subscribes to Lore Boys Premium Silver, which is only $49.99 a month, we will give Peter a guinea pig.
Yeah.
To relive the childhood that he never had.
Yeah, exactly. So the things that we're going to spend that money on is I'm going to get some VHS copies of Beast Wars and a guinea pig.
Yes. I could just see like you in your apartment with your cat and just way too many guinea pigs.
Oh, God, yeah. Just both her and I just sitting on the couch, like confused out of our minds. Yeah. Lore is just writhing guinea pigs.
Oh, God.
And that constitutes Lore Boys out.
Guinea pig.
Lore Boys
guinea pigs.
I'm drinking slower than usual because going to... Exactly, and there's a good chance she's not drinking at all yet, so I don't want her to show up and I'm wasting.
Gamer's meeting a girl, he can't drink very hard.
Yeah, dude, changing myself already.
Do you watch a royal wedding?
No. Should I have?
Nah, this shit's dumb.
Yeah? Well, it just seems like really slow pace, you know? Like... if there was more, like, guns and explosions.
More guns. he did marry an American, so.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe there was more guns than usual. I don't know.
Dude, yeah. I don't know. Like maybe if there's, like, a love scene at the end or something. We're talking about the royal wedding. How I'd watch it.
If it was
more exciting, I'd watch it.
Hannah woke up early this morning to watch it. So.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Really?
She's British.
It's fair. I'm Canadian. I didn't watch Stephen Harper marry the goat or whatever he did.
Yeah, that happens.
Well, I remember that. That was a beautiful wedding.
It was pretty bad.
One of those screaming goats.
Yeah.
And do you, goat, take this prime minister to be your lovely wedded husband?
Yeah!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.